بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء المرسلين مولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. One of the earthly manifestations of Rahmah is the mother. The love, the affection that a mother affords her child is really unparalleled in this world. The love that a mother shows for a child, you will not see it anyway. And this is why one of the meanings of the word womb in the Arabic language is Rahm. And it emanates from the word Rahma. Because her love for her child is unparalleled. And it's very interesting that one of the meanings of the word mother in the Arabic language is your origin, is where you emanate from. And in essence, man has two mothers. One is his biological mother. One is where he comes out from, the womb. And the other is which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, مِنَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ فِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى. From the earth we created you, and to it you shall return. And from it, on the day of judgment, you will be resurrected again. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ said that man, when he is buried at the very same place where he was initially taken from. And like the mother has deep love and affection for the child, upon occasion, the Prophet ﷺ was traveling with a group of companions. And there was a woman who lost her child. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum began to look for this child. And they couldn't find this child. And they would bring one child to the mother and she would say, it's not this child. They would bring another child and she would say, it's not this child. They would bring another child and she would say, no, it's not this child. Until finally they found her child. And when they bought her child, she began to cry. She began to embrace it and kiss it. And the Prophet ﷺ was observing this. And he turned towards the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and he said, do you think that this mother would throw her child into the fire? And the Sahaba said, impossible. Look at the love and the affection that she has for her child. And the Prophet ﷺ said, the love that Allah has for his slave is greater than the love that this woman has for her child. Greater than the love that this woman has for her child. And like a biological mother wants good for her child, she wants the best for her child. You look, every single thing that man has on this world, everything, his clothing, his house, his food, his natural resources, all emanate from Mother Earth. Everything he has, the only thing which is not from Mother Earth is his ruh, is his. And then what happens is man comes out of earth and then he begins to walk on the back of the earth and he regards himself as proud and he becomes haughty. He walks on the back of his mother and he regards himself as something special. And all the fitna, all the facade that you see on the world, Allah says, ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس. All the fitna, all the strife that you see on this earth is a cause of man's doing. And this is why Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu mentioned that birds die out of starvation in their nest because of the evil actions of man. Every single fitna on this earth is caused through the actions of man. Why? Because Allah creates an equilibrium, a mizan. And it is man who breaks this balance, who breaks its equilibrium. And then Mother Earth turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that every day, ma min yawmin illa wal bahru yasta'adhanu rabbahu fi an yaghrik abna adam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there is not a day that the seas ask Allah, oh Allah, let us destroy mankind. Look at the transgression of man. Allah, you gave man everything. And look how he transgresses you. And there is not a day that the seas do not ask Allah, Allah, allow us to destroy mankind. Look at his transgression every single day. And Allah categorically mentions and graphically mentions in the Quran how Allah destroyed the nations who came before you through the seas. The Qawm Nuh. Who were the Qawm Nuh? They were a group of people who Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam called to for 950 years. Inni da'utu qawmi laylan wa nahara. For 950 years, he called his people. And in 950 years, only 82 people embraced Islam. And then Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam cursed them. And he said, oh Allah, do not leave any of them behind. Do not leave any of them behind. And then Allah let loose the seas and he opened the skies and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them. And Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, he saw his son and he saw, he said, oh my son, climb onto the ark, climb onto the ark, take iman. And his son said, don't worry my father, I will take refuge on the tip of the mountain. I will climb the peak of the mountain and I will take refuge. And Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam said, La asim al yawma min amrillah illa man rahim. He said, today, no man will be saved. Ain al mafur wa illahu talib. Where are you going to run when your Lord is in your pursuit? The mountains belong to Allah. The earth belongs to Allah. So where are you going to go? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed Qawm Nuh. He drowned every single one of them. There is not a day that the seas do not ask Allah, oh Allah, give us permission to drown Ibn Adam, to drown man. And there is not a day that the earth does not ask Allah, oh Allah, give us permission that we may swallow man because of the transgressions of man. Every single day, the earth asks Allah, Allah, give me permission to swallow man. But we regard these as fables, asatir al-awwaleen, because we forget.
Ehtisham ke ghar ke paas kisi gore ki gaadi kisi ne block kar di hai, uski emergency mein kisi jagah jana hai.
This Toyota Corolla, registration number GF02MF0. Could you please move this car? Toyota Corolla, it's on Trinity Road. It's blocking some non-Muslim. Jazakallah. There is not a day that the earth does not ask Allah, oh Allah, grant me permission that I may destroy the son of Adam. But we regard these as fables, asatir al-awwaleen, as the old stories, because we never reflect in the Quran how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed the Qawm Ad. Who were the Qawm Ad? The Qawm Ad were a group of people who were mighty. They were built like mountains. And they regarded themselves as the superpower of the time. And they were based in a place in Yemen called Yemen al-Sa'idah, the most prosperous place in the whole Arab Peninsula. And they would say, we are the superpower of our time. Who is more powerful than us? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala records the arrogance in the Quran. He says, فَأَمَّا عَادٌ فَاسْتَكْبَرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَقَالُوا مَنْ أَشَدُّ مِنَّا قُوَّةً. They said, Ad, they became haughty in the earth without any right. And they said, who is more powerful than us? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Hud alayhi salatu wasalam, to warn them. And what did they say? They said, Hud, if your Lord has anything, then tell him to bring it on. وَمَنْ أَشَدُّ مِنَّا قُوَّةً. Who is more powerful than we? We are the superpower of our time. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a wind with the narration mentioned, which from the power of Allah was equivalent to the snorting of an ox. And for 7 days and 8 nights, this wind blew. And it destroyed every single one of the Qawm Ad. And Allah mentioned in the Quran, do they not see that the one who created them is more powerful than they are? The one who created them is the superpower of the day. There is no superpower. And this is a reality. And in 1990, through the NASA photographs, satellite photographs, they found the place of Qawm Ad. 12 meters under the ground. This is how powerful the wind was. And they would say, Man ashaddu minna quwwa? Who is more powerful than we are? And Allah says, do they not see? The one who created them is more powerful than they are. And today, you look at Yemen al-Sa'ida. That's what it was known as. The most prosperous place out of the Arab Peninsula, because this was a mighty civilization. Now that part of the Arab Peninsula is the worst part. It is the most treacherous part of the desert. It takes anything which passes in it. It swallows things like the sea swallows it. There is not a day that the seas do not ask Allah, oh Allah, allow us to destroy Ibn Adam. And there is not a day that the land does not ask Allah, oh Allah, allow us to swallow mankind. And there is not a day when the angels see the transgression of man that they ask Allah, oh Allah, allow us to destroy mankind. Allow us to come down and destroy mankind. But we don't really believe this because we forget what Allah did with Qawm Lut. Who were Qawm Lut? Qawm Lut were a group of people who were homosexuals. And Allah mentioned in the Quran that nobody before you ever did this action. They would discard their women and they would marry men. And you know, just before the Pakistani earthquake, there was a man who married a young boy, and it was plastered all over the international media. Not only did he marry this child, there was a huge banquet. There was a walima. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is not a day, but the angels ask Allah, oh Allah, grant us permission. Grant us permission that we come down and we destroy mankind. And when the azab came from the Qawm Lut, then the narration mentioned that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam took the entire vicinity on the tip of his wing, and he took him so high, that the angels in the heavens could hear the barking of the dogs and the croaking of the hens. And then Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam turned the wings. And this is how Allah destroyed them. And the Qawm Lut, they were situated where you have the Dead Sea today. The Dead Sea, this is the lowest part of the world. It is 800 meters beneath the Mediterranean. Nothing lives in the Dead Sea. Why? Because this is where the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came. And I know what you're saying. Well, these were kafir societies. It happened to them. But Mawlana Salman Nadwi mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَتَتَّبِعُنَّ سُنَنَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ شِبْرًا بِشِبْرٍ ذِرَاعًا بِذِرَاعٍ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you will follow those who came before you, hand span for hand span, a forearm for forearm, pound for pound, inch for inch. Whatever they did, if they fornicated, you will fornicate. If they were homosexuals, you will become homosexual. If they conned, you will con. Even if they were to enter into a hole, you would follow them into the hole. And understand, you know, many people say that why is it that all these natural disasters only affect the Muslims? See, the sunnah of Allah is this, that the azab of Allah doesn't generally come. Doesn't come for kufr. Because for kufr, there is an eternal life of doom. But it comes because of characteristics and traits. And this is why when Allah destroyed Qawm Nuh were a group of people who knew alayhi salatu wasalam cursed. The Qawm Ad were people who thought that they were the superpower of the day. The Qawm Thamud were a group of people who destroyed the sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Qawm Lut were homosexuals. And this is why Allah destroyed them. This is why Allah destroyed them. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when my ummah will have 15 characteristics, then the azab of Allah will descend upon them. Halla biha al-bila. Then the azab will descend upon them. Iza kana al-maghnam al-dawla. When the people's wealth will be usurped by those who are in authority. Those who are rich, they will take the general masses of wealth and they will regard it as their own. And you look today, you look in Pakistan and the India subcontinent, people will fight an election. They will spend 5 lakh. Why? Because they know that when they become the MNA or the MP or the councillor, they will take 50 lakh. And nothing will go to the general public. Nothing. And the rich get richer, the poor get poorer, and the corrupt get corrupter. This is what happens. إِذَا كَانَ الْمَغْنَمُ الدُّوَلًا وَالْأَمَانَةُ مَغْنَمًا. And when people will regard amanat, when they are given a trust, they will think it is their own wealth. They will not give it to anybody else because they will regard it as their own wealth. And you see this all the time. Really, when the government gives money to organizations, it lines their own pockets. The general public never see this money. And this is amana. This is a trust. وَزَكَاتُ مَغْرَمًا. And when people will regard zakat as a tax, they will regard zakat as a tax, and you see this, then they will make the most wild excuses that they can. When General Zia made it a law in Pakistan that every person, their zakat must be taken from their bank, what did so many Sunnis do? They became Shias. They became Shias. And they wrote that we are Shias. When zakat becomes a fard upon you, it is no longer your wealth. It belongs to the poor. Don't you forget, whatever you have is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how often do you see Muslims, people who go from England and they go to their country, and in one day, they will blow thousands of pounds. Thousands of pounds in one day. And in that very same city, in that very same village, are people who are chronically ill and they don't have enough money to buy the medicine. There are parents there who don't have the couple of thousand pounds or the few hundred pounds to marry their daughters off. And these people will blast thousands of pounds in a day. And when it comes to zakat, a zakatu maghraman, they will regard it as a tax. How often do you see people from here who go to India, Pakistan? What for? For dog fights? And they spend thousands of pounds on a dog fight. And in that very same place, there are Muslims who don't know where the next meal is coming from. There are Muslims in Nigeria who are starving to death. And you are spending thousands of pounds on dog fights. But when it comes to giving zakat, you regard it as a tax. The Prophet ﷺ said, when man will obey his wife and he will disobey his mother, when he will be good to his friends and he will throw his father far away. And you see how many people today, you know, they're the murids of their wives. They're the murids of their wives. And they totally disobey their mothers. Why? Because they're infatuated with this new love. Your wife has rights and your mother has rights. They both have rights, and it is imperative upon you to fulfill the rights of both and not forget any of their rights. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَإِرْتَفَتِ الْأَصْوَاتُ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ. And people will forget the sanctity of the masjid. They will shout in the masjid. Voices will be raised in the masjid. Janab kiala. You will forget the adab of the masjid. And voices will be raised. People will fight. They will forget the adab. They will fight in the masjid. But really, it's even past that now. You look at places in the world, people are scared to go to the masjid because they fear that they may be gunned down. And they have police standing outside the masjid 5 times daily salah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَكَانَ زَعِيمُ الْقَوْمِ أَرْضَلَهُمْ وَأُكْرِمَ الرَّجُلُ مُخَافَةَ الشَّرِّهِ. That the leader of the qawm and the nation will be the degenerate, the scum, the most self-centered person. He won't be concerned about anything. He won't be concerned that he will have to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will be subservient to others than other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that they will be respected, not because people respect them, but people fear their evil. People fear their evil, so they want to keep them sweet because they know what nasty piece of work they are. And you look at the world today, you look at our leaders, nationally or globally, they're all Abu Rigals. Illa mashallah. Majority of Abu Righal. Do you know who Abu Righal was? Abu Righal was a person that when Abraha, the Yemenese governor, came to destroy the Kaaba, the year the Prophet ﷺ was born, he reached Taif and he met a man called Abu Righal, and Abu Righal said, I'll show you where the Kaaba is as long as you give me some money. And Abraha said, fine. And when he reached the outskirts of Makkah, Abu Righal passed away. And what the Arabs would do is that they would pelt his grave. Why? Because this was a man who was ready to sell out his people and his religion for a dollar and a dime. And how many Abu Righals do you have today, really? How many people do you have who will sell out their Muslim brothers, who are subservient to other people? When the people, the leaders of the nation, will be those who are the scum, who are the lowlifes, and they will be respected. Why? Not because people really respect them, but people want to keep them sweet because they know what a nasty person he is. You look at the Muslim Ummah, you look at the leaders, they are so evil that the Americans, when they want to torture somebody, they outsource their torture, and these people torture them. And these are the state of the Muslims. You look at those people who are respected on the street today. Who are they? The drug dealers. Those parasites of society who will suck the bloodline of society. Why? Because they want to line their pockets. Why? Because they want to drive their big cars. And these are the people who are respected gunmen who will make other Muslim sisters orphans. These are the people who are respected in our society. What? When those who are respected will be, why? Because people will fear their sin. They will fear the evil, and that's why they will be respected. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, when alcohol consumption, my ummah will begin to consume alcohol, and men will begin to wear silk, and people will begin to listen to music, and they will hire women to dance and sing. And you look today, you look at many countries, what do they have? They have Kanjriyan dancing. They hire women to dance. They have music. It's a norm. You know, there was a time when our weddings were plagued with Hindu customs, where we would have the mehndi, but because now we're Westerners, aren't we? We're Westerners. So therefore now we need to have the stag nights. We are women where alcohol is consumed. These are prophecies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَلَعَنَ آخِرُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ أَوَّلَهَا. And those who will come at the end of the ummah, they will curse and abuse those who came at the beginning. And أعوذ بالله, how often do you hear people saying that Abu Bakr and Umar were munafiqs? How often do you hear people saying, slandering, saying that Aisha radiallahu anha was an adulteress, the most beloved person to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How often do you hear people saying, oh, Imam Abu Hanifa, he only knew 17 hadith. He only knew 17 hadith. How often do you see your pseudo scholars, your new mujtahids, like the Irshad Manjis and the Free the Saqs and the Fatima Meranisis? You know, who have no relationship, and they say, oh, 1400 years Islam, they didn't really understand Islam. Their thinking was archaic. We are progressive. We are enlightened. And let me give you glad tidings. You don't have to follow the four madhabs anymore. You don't have to take your fatwas from Makkah or Medina or Malaysia or Indonesia, because there's a new madhab out. It's called Wududi. And it started by Amina Wadud. And you know where it emanates from? Out of all the places in the world, you know where it emanates from? It emanates in America, mashallah. So now we must take our fiqh from America. You know when Amina Wadud led the Jummah prayer, where did she lead it? In Washington. Very interesting. Why? Because maybe her Qibla is the White House, whilst our Qibla is the Black House. Our Qibla is the Black House. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you will have these characteristics, فَلْيَرْتَقِبُ إِنْدَ ذَٰلِكَ رِيحًا حَمْرًا, then when this happens, وَمَسْخًا وَخَصْفًا وَزَلْزَلًا, when you have these characteristics, Then wait, the azab of Allah will come. You will have earthquakes. And understand, when the azab of Allah comes, it takes everybody up. It doesn't spare anybody. It takes the good, the bad, the evil, the young, the old. It takes everybody up. It spares nobody. This is the nature. The Prophet ﷺ said that when Allah sent the azab on a certain place, the angels come and they say, "Oh Allah, in that place is a man who worships you all the time. He never disobeys you." And the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah says to the angels, "Send the azab upon him first." Why? Because he saw people transgressing, but his color didn't change. His complexion didn't change. But after that, the Prophet ﷺ said, if a person dislikes what is happening, then what happens is on the day of judgment, إِنَّهُمْ يُبْعَثُونَ عَلَى نِيَاتِهِمْ, they will be resurrected according to their niyat. If they were good, they will be resurrected as good. If they were evil, they will be resurrected according to their niyat. But when the azab comes, it takes everybody up. And why Allah chooses certain places, that's not for us. Allah knows the hikmah, and it is not for us to frown upon those, because Allah will resurrect them according to their niyyah. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Mahdumul bayt shaheed," a person upon whom the house drops, he's crushed in the house, is a shaheed. A person who is drowned is shaheed. So those who died in Pakistan, those who died in the tsunami, are shuhada according to the word of the Prophet ﷺ. But for us, it's what lesson that we take from this. What is the lesson that we take from this? And what is the lesson that was taken from this? You saw many people who as a consequence came closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But on the other hand, you saw many people who Allah sealed their hearts. How many stories were there of women whose arms were amputated, dead women whose arms were amputated so they could take the bangles, women whose fingers were cut so they could take the gold rings. How many stories were there of people saying, "Yeah, what was the benefit of us praying? What was the benefit of us praying? Allah didn't even spare the good people. Allah didn't even spare the masjid." See, this is a lesson for us, that we see the power of Allah and we remember another day, which will be far greater than this, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, "Ya ayyuha an-nasu ittaqoo rabbakum inna zalzalata as-sa'ati shay'un 'azeem." O mankind, remember the earthquake and the zalzala on the day of judgment. Remember that, because it is a shay'un 'azeem. It is of great enormity. When women who are breastfeeding their children will forget their children. And this earthquake, women were looking for their children, and they looked for their children. On that day, women will have their children by their breasts. And when this zalzala will come, they will throw their children to the side. Every woman who on that day is expecting will lose her child. And Allah says, you will see people as though they are drunk. They will be falling this way and that way. They will be falling this way and that way. They will look at their drunk, they've lost their senses. وَلَكِنْ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٍ. But the reality is that the azab of Allah is shadeed. The azab of Allah is strong and is great severity. And this is why people will be of that state. And Allah shows us these zalzale because He wants to remind us of the zalzala of the day of judgment. This is what Allah wants to remind us. And Allah mentions another zalzala, which is worse than both of these zalzala. It's worse than the zalzala of this dunya, and it's worse than the zalzala of the day of judgment, of the final hour. And this is only for the believers. This is the zalzala of the inner. This is the shaking and the trembling of the inner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states categorically in the Quran, do the believers think that they will enter into Jannah and they will not be tested with adversity and trials and tribulation like those who came before them? وَزُلْزِلُوا, and their spirits will be shaken. their spirits will be shaken. Hatta yaqula rasulu walladhina amanu ma'ahu mata nasrullah, until the rasul of his time and those who believed in the rasul of his time began to say, when will the help of Allah descend? When will the help of Allah descend? Many of us today are being afflicted by this zalzala, and understand, this is the ultimate disaster. This is the final disaster. Why? Because many people, they see the zalzala, they see the glamour and the glitter of the West, and they fall by the wayside. They see the power of the West, and they see the humiliation of the Muslim, and they say, if you can't beat them, just join them. And they fall by the wayside. And the Prophet ﷺ said about a time, he said, يُصْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا. He said, a time will come that a person will be a believer in the morning, and in the evening he will be a kafir. Such will be the negative portrayal of the religion. They will have their pseudo scholars saying, well, this is not a part of the Quran. 1400 years of understanding Islam, well, this is not how it was understood. We understand it, and they will change the fundamentals of the Islam. And if you follow them and you deny one of the fundamentals of Islam, then there is a fear for the iman, and this is the ultimate zalzala. And understand, as believers, you will be tested. Allah mentions in the Quran that you will be tested. You want Jannah and you don't want to be tested? You want the pleasure of Allah and you don't want to be tested? In the time of the Prophet ﷺ, how were the Sahaba tested? The likes of Bilal, I don't have to tell you the stories of Bilal, made to lie in the sweltering heat, and they would place a rock upon his chest, and then they said, now denounce your religion. And he would say, Ahad, Ahad, one Allah, one Allah. And Imam Halbi rahmatullah alayhi mentioned that Bilal would dilute this torture with the sweetness of Tawheed. And he would say, Ahad, one Allah, one Allah. And he will repeat this again and again. He will repeat this again and again. The sacrifices of Ammar ibn Yasir. Who was Ammar? These were, the entire family would be persecuted and tortured. His mother was the first shaheeda in the history of Islam. The first martyr in the history of Islam was a woman. The narration mentioned that they tied her legs. And the Prophet ﷺ would often go past the entire family, and they would all be tortured. And he would rub his hand over the head of Ammar, and he would say, Sabran ya ala Yasir, fa inna maw'idakumul Jannah. He would say, oh Sabr, family of Yasir, because your abode is Jannah. After years of persecution, these people came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was leaning on the Kaaba. Bilal, Khubab, Ammar, and they said, oh Messenger of Allah, all they said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, oh Messenger of Allah, make dua that the help of Allah descends. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was leaning on the Kaaba, and he sat up and he said, innakum qawman tasta'jilun. He said, you are a group of people who hasten. After years of persecution, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you are a group of people who hasten. And look at our state. We want Jannah, but we do not want to be tested. You think Jannah is an easy thing? We would make dua that Allah makes it easy for us. But this is the thing. Allah will test you, and this will be your ultimate zalzala. When your spirits will be shaken, and you will say, when will the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come? Why does Allah have zalzalas? Why does Allah have earthquakes? In the fifth year of Hijrah, there was a zalzala in Medina. There was a trembling of the earth in Medina. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he called the Sahaba and he said, oh believers, Allah wants you to do tawbah. Allah wants you to do tawbah. And he wants you to make him happy. This is why Allah wants you to send zalzala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is not a day that the seas do not ask Allah, Oh Allah, allow us to destroy man. Not a day that the earth does not ask Allah. Oh Allah, allow us to swallow man. Not a day that the angels do not ask Allah. Oh Allah, allow us to destroy man. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Allah says to the sea and the angels and the earth, he said, I know my servant better than you do, for I created him. I created him with my own hands. And if he is your slave, then do what you want with him. But if he is my slave, then I am waiting for him to do tawbah. I am giving him respite, so he does tawbah. Allah stops the heaven from destroying man. Why? Because he wants man to do tawbah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, that Allah says, that if he comes to me in the day, I will accept his tawbah. And he comes to me in the evening, I will accept his tawbah. Whenever he comes to me, I will accept his tawbah. أَلَمْ يَعْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْ تَخْشَى قُلُوبَهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ Isn't it time? Isn't it time that the believer's heart submitted for the sake of Allah? Isn't it time that the believer's heart now, after all you see in the world, look, really, you are being kicked from pillar to post. With every portion of the world. Why? Because Allah wants to wake you up. Even the natural disasters are targeted towards the Muslim. Why? Because Allah wants to wake us up. Allah wants to wake the believers up, because you are meant to be the khalifas of Allah on this earth. Isn't it time? Allah says in the Quran, isn't it time that the believers, that they submitted their hearts sincerely in the dhikr of Allah. There was a man called Fudayl ibn Iyaz, the famous saint of his time. And the narrations mention that he used to enjoy himself. And upon occasion, he was going to see his girlfriend in Makkah. And he heard a person reciting the verse, أَلَمْ يَعْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَى قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ Isn't it time that their believers submitted themselves in the remembrance of Allah? And such was the impact of this verse on the heart of Fudayl ibn Iyaz rahmatullah alayh. He said, Oh Allah, it is time. Oh Allah, it is time. And then the narrations mention that Fudayl ibn Iyaz went to the Haram, and he's known as the Abidul Haramain. He's known as the Abidul Haramain, the worshipper of the two holy cities. And why he's known as Abidul Haramain is because the narration mentioned that there is not a portion in the Masjid Nabwi or in the Makkah where his tears did not drop out of the face of Allah. Not a portion in the Masjid of Makkah or the Masjid of Medina where his tears did not fall out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And really, my dear respected brothers, whatever is happening in the world today is for the believers to take heed. It is for the believers to take heed. Allah sends these calamities down. Why? Because He wants to wake us up. He has a concern that those who were meant to be the khalifas of Allah have forgot their way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who live and die for the sake of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us united in this dunya. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reunite us in Jannat al-Firdaus. Inshallah, straight from here, I'm going for Hajj. Inshallah, I request all of you make dua for me. If I have transgressed the rights of any, and I'm sure I've transgressed the rights of many, if I've said anything wrong today or previously, I ask you for your forgiveness. You make dua for me, and inshallah, I will make dua for you. SubhanAllah wa bihamdika.